You tuned in to the Kocho Nam, the show on WAMU 88.5. Welcome. Later in the broadcast, the Wah Luck House in Chinatown and what its sale means for residents and for affordable housing in an increasingly pricey area. But first, on Halloween, four football players were sexually assaulted as part of a hazing ritual at Damascus High School. And now this week, Bowie State's marching band, the Symphony of Soul, has been suspended ahead of its championship game as allegations of hazing have surfaced. How are school officials and law enforcement responding to the incidents, and what will it take to put a stop to hazing in the Washington region? Joining me in studio is Dan Morse. Dan covers courts and crime in Montgomery County for the Washington Post. Dan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
And joining us by phone is Derek Turner, Communications Director for Montgomery County Public Schools. Derek, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Dan, you reported on the incident at Damascus High School that occurred last week. First, tell us a little bit about Damascus High School and its football team. Where is it, and what's the reputation of the team?
Damascus is in the northern part of Montgomery County, sort of further away than a lot of people there in this region. They know Montgomery County from the close-in areas of Silver Spring and Bethesda,
maybe Rockville.
but Damascus is up there, and it sort of becomes its own town, its own community. And a big part of that is their football program at their high school, which is very good. They've won more than 50 games in a row. And it's not just the high school football team. There's youth football up there. There's JV football. It's all, and those programs feed into this very, very successful varsity football program.
Indeed. It sounds like a high school in Texas or Alabama.
Exactly. It's, it does seem like Alabama or Ohio. Now, people in those states would say, no, we're the real deal. But, I think it's a significantly different atmosphere than some of the closer-in suburbs.
So tell us, what happened there on Halloween?
So on Halloween, it's the end of the season. Starting about 2:30 in the afternoon, and this is the allegations that the police have brought forth, in the locker room, there's kids getting ready for practice, and one of the first things they notice is the lights go out. And there proceeds to be attacks on four of these kids. The police would eventually charge five of their teammates with either second-degree rape or attempted second-degree rape.
Either junior varsity players.
Correct.
Is that your understanding, Derek Turner, of what happened? Or the allegations, anyway?
Correct. Those are the allegations that we're hearing. Our focus as a school system is to stand down while the police are doing their investigation. But our focus is really on the community who's going through such a difficult time right now. These are horrendous allegations that we're hearing, and we have taken steps to support the community. We have counselors and crisis staff on standby because this whole conversation and this issue is really difficult and really disturbing if it's true.
Dan Morse, can you talk about exactly what these five young men have been charged with?
So what happened is, that was on Wednesday, allegedly happened on Wednesday. And on Thursday, the police started an investigation. And over the course of one day, they talked to at least seven boys on the team. And of those seven, what I found, one of the things I found interesting is six of them said some version of that this had been done in the past, that they were doing, a part of something that happens. The police heard that one after another on Thursday when they conducted these interviews. We've seen that. We've seen that these kids said that. The question is, are they just talking about what they did and trying to explain that, this is just, things that had happened in the past, or are they just, was it just then, or is there truth to that that does go back in time and as some sort of ritual or tradition
but,
or something?
But what the police ultimately charged them with was sexual assault.
Well, they technically charged them with a second-degree rape, which in Maryland is you know, there's one more serious. There's first degree rape, but second degree rape is a very serious charge. It can involve, you know, what's written in the law as an object. You know, that can be part of the act. And four of these kids have been charged with either two counts of second-degree rape or three counts of second-degree rape. Some of them have also been charged with an attempted second-degree rape. And then one kid, the fifth one, has been charged with a single count of attempted second-degree rape. So, you know, that can tell you that what the police think is, you know, that certainly they think crimes were committed and there were, you know, attempts to commit more.
This, Dan Morse, has been a very delicate and sometimes difficult issue to report, given that there were juveniles. Talk about the difficulty of reporting this story. You've been getting some pushback.
Sure. We wrote a little bit about it last week when the charges were filed. And, you know, those are pretty basic. You know, we wrote that the charges were second, you know, as I had said, second-degree rape, attempted second-degree rape. Then this week I found out more. You know, I was able to find specifics of what these kids told the investigators and why the investigators brought those charges. So I was able to find out what, you know, the alleged underlying, you know, incidents, crimes. And that was difficult, you know, because, you know, as a newspaper, we don't want to get too graphic of, you know, when we're describing sex crimes. And I think it's, you know, even more so when we know the victims are juveniles. You know, of course, we don't ever name victims of sex crimes. We do keep their names confidential. But, you know, it's a tight community up there. And, you know, a lot of people know a lot of people. And it's just very sensitive. And I think the people of Damascus, from what I've heard, some of them thought I went too far with the details. But I know a lot of them really want to know, you know, what happened at their high school. So, I think it's difficult.
And we understand that we're talking about here, both in terms of the alleged victims and the alleged perpetrators, we're talking about, 14 and 15-year-old kids. And so
correct.
It's a very delicate matter. But what you did report on, and I'm sure I'm going to get some pushback for this also, is that there some of these young guys testified that there was something called brooming that may have been involved, and a lot of people objected to even talking about that because it has not risen beyond the level of hearsay at this point, and so people felt it should not be mentioned at all. But since it was mentioned in the testimony given to the investigators by these young persons, you felt obligated, obviously, to report it, and there has been some pushback. But Derek Turner, how are parents responding to all of this?
I think parents and our school system have some of the same concerns that you're hearing. The leak of this confidential police report about a juvenile, it re-victimizes these kids, and it puts them back into the trauma that they've experienced. And because it's in the paper and online and in the media, it follows them for the rest of their lives. So we're really concerned about that. And it also creates a problem with getting kids to come forward. You know, it's already hard enough if you've experienced a trauma to come forward, but to know that your confidential report is going to end up on the front page of a paper, why would you trust a police officer to share? And that concerns us. So we really have those same concerns that you're hearing from the community.
We got a tweet from Annie Derrick who says, were there no coaches or adult staff around? It seems to me holding young men down and committing this alleged act would cause some commotion. Did staff turn a blind eye? Do you know anything about what staff may or may not have known, Derrick?
So because this is an ongoing police investigation, I can't share any details because I don't want to interfere with their investigation. But what we can share is that there is a responsibility of staff to supervise students, and staff who are found not to supervise students in any situation are reprimanded and disciplined appropriately.
Derek, had the county been informed of any past hazing incidents at Damascus High?
We weren't aware of any widespread systematic hazing or bullying, but part of that is we need to create a culture where people feel safe to come forward and share their experiences. And that's why the superintendent sent out a message directly to all high school students.
I was just about to ask, how have Montgomery County schools responded to this incident?
That's right. So we reached out directly to every high school student through their email, through a video from the superintendent and the athletic director for the county to really tell students that we're concerned about them and we're concerned that there might be a culture or climate of bullying, hazing, or harassment that can lead to this type of mental abuse and physical abuse that is alleged here, and that we're going to have athletic directors and coaches and school sponsors sit down with students immediately and ask about what they're seeing and what they're experiencing. Because if we don't know what the problem is, we can't solve it, and we know we have to act immediately.
We have a caller in Washington who wishes to remain anonymous, but you are on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm a parent whose child came forward previously before Damascus. My child
in Montgomery County Public Schools?
In Montgomery County Public Schools, okay. At another high school.
Okay.
And my child reported abuse and bullying, but it wasn't by the students. It was by the coaches. And MCPS did not send out any information to students on how to report. And I was really disappointed after Damascus, the information, including the video that was sent out to the students, including the letter on the athletic webpage, that Montgomery County Public Schools encourages students to report other students. But imagine when it's a coach participating in this type of behavior, of how hard it is for an athlete to come forward and how vulnerable that athlete is when they come forward. And my son couldn't continue with the sport after he reported.
Well, Derek Turner, what is the procedure for when a young person comes forward to report, not necessarily another student, but a staff member or coach?
So if a student feels like they're being bullied or harassed, they should tell a trusted adult in the building, a school administrator, and we will act immediately. I can't speak to the caller's situation.
Of course.
If she wants to contact me offline, I'm happy to look into it. But we really have ramped up our ability around reporting, preventing child abuse, neglect, bullying, and harassment, because we know that our first priority as a school system is to keep kids safe, because they can't learn if they're not safe first.
And the caller mentioned a video. I know an anti-bullying video has been sent to kids and parents. What's the message there, Derek?
The message sent from Dr. Smith and the athletic directors is really about telling kids that we're concerned about this issue and we want them to engage with their coaches and with their athletic directors around anything they're seeing, and reminding them to report it if they're seeing it. The kids are our first and most effective tool in preventing any kind of inappropriate and disturbing behavior. So that's why we're really empowering them to learn how to come forward and give them the tools they need to keep themselves and other students safe.
Here now is Salve in Alexandria, Virginia. Salve, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I participated in many sports in high school and in college. Maybe it was a different culture back then, but all I had to do is sing a song, as embarrassing as that was, or wear a T-shirt of an opposing team, or at one point even shave my head, which I thought was horrible. But anything that has to do with sort of physical interaction, I think that just leads down the path of...
Well, I'm familiar with the shaving of the heads, Derek Turner, but is hazing of any kind allowed in Montgomery County Public Schools?
There is no hazing allowed in Montgomery County Public Schools, because we know the behavior, while they might think whatever they're doing is innocent, can escalate and cause horrible outcomes. I mean, we've heard of in other communities of students dying from being hazed and at the college level, and that's what we think of when we talk about hazing, that the outcome could be physical abuse or death, and that's why this is so important that we stop it at its origin.
Then we got a tweet from Kendall who says, hazing is a serious issue that cannot be tolerated. It has no place in our school system or the lives of children. After a thorough investigation, appropriate actions must be taken. Luke tweeted, second-degree rape is not a rite of passage. It is not hazing. Rape is rape. But then what exactly is hazing? The definition of hazing seems to be quite vague. At what point does it become a law enforcement issue versus something for a school or a school system to deal with?
My understanding is that the investigators just, you know, sort of pick up on hazing when a crime has been committed. And, you know, in this case, it's a very serious crime. If hazing started off, like the caller said, with, you know, having to sing a song or get a certain haircut, what's the next step? If someone gets punched, then, you know, that's a crime and that's a second degree assault. And so I think that's when the police would say, you can call it what you want. You can define hazing as you want. But as far as we're concerned, a crime has been committed. So that's where we're jumping in.
Here's Catherine in Northern Virginia. Catherine, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm just wondering if schools have considered instituting sort of an anonymous hotline like corporations do. There was a caller earlier that had a personal experience, and I have one as well, where my child had to report some pretty serious allegations. But the definite opinion of the athletic director was, well, I've got to be able to disclose that it was you in order to investigate this. And that really seemed to operate as a deterrent, and we said no.
Derek Turner?
So the state of Maryland actually instituted the Safe Schools Hotline as part of the Safe to Learn Act, which is a statewide hotline where people can call in anonymously or use the mobile app or text in information that they believe if there's an incident in their community that they want to share anonymously. But we also encourage community members to go to their trusted adult and to go to the principal, because we can immediately act in those situations. And we don't tolerate hazing. We don't tolerate bullying. And we want to keep our kids safe, and we need to know that information to do that.
And I'm afraid we're almost out of time, but I wanted to go back to our anonymous caller for a second to ask, how is your son doing now?
He's in therapy right now because of the impact of what he experienced. We did report to Montgomery County Public Schools. They ignored our report. They did not protect my son from retaliation. And my son is no longer a student in Montgomery County Public Schools because of what he experienced. But it's serious. No matter who is the perpetrator, no matter if it's another student, but heaven forbid when it's an adult, including a coach. But our school athletic director rehired the coaching staff for this year.
I'm very sorry about what happened in your situation. As I said, we're almost out of time, but I'm pretty sure that you can give Derek Turner a call. He is communications director for Montgomery County Public Schools, to see if he, at this late date, can still render some assistance. But thank you very much for your call. Derek Turner, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you, Kojo.
Derek Turner is communications director for Montgomery County Public Schools. Dan Morse, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Dan Morse covers courts and crime in Montgomery County for The Washington Post. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, the Wah Luck House in Chinatown and what its sale means for residents and what it means for affordable housing in an increasingly pricey area. I'm Kojo Namdi.
Thanks for listening to The Kojo Namdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.